Answering your top financial questions for the past 20 years, it's Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, we have a kind of a special July program today for you. In the middle of July, summer doldrums.
Is it the doldrums?
Is that the doldrums? Why are there doldrums in summer? Most people are having a good time in summer. Not everybody, obviously. Life still happens. But this is a financial program. Myself and my co-host, we're both financial advisors. We spend our weekdays helping people like yourself. We come here to on your weekends to be your financial advisors on the air. And we realize that in the middle of the summer, most people don't spend a lot of time on their financial planning issues.
Or any.
Okay, any. Because you typically find time to be around friends and family and maybe have a chance to see the
recreate.
Kids or the grandkids. And obviously not, it's not like we all take the whole month of July off like the Germans do. But
yes.
Somehow Germany's well, managed to do pretty well on
speaking
that.
Speaking of, let's talk about Brexit.
So yeah.
To win the show.
I think the term Brexit's almost overdone. But what's it mean to you? What's the aftermath? Well, clearly we saw markets go down, at least the equity markets, interest rates go down. What's that all mean to you? Right now there's $12 trillion in the world invested at interest rates that are negative. So investors are willing to have less principal. What's this mean to you as an investor to retirement?
And a saver.
We'll spend some time on that. But we'll also just have some fun because it is summertime and we realize that...
What do we realize?
Most people don't spend as much time dealing with their financial plan and their portfolio. January and February, big months.
That is the biggest. it is the biggest months of the year.
No question.
Are January, February, December, people trying to figure out what they should have done throughout the year, and it's their catch up, and April.
Now, I know I'm not supposed to do this, but I can't help but mention it. So we have cameras in our studio because if you go to moneymatters.com, you'll notice that we've got there's pieces of this program. You could watch video, and we send it out if you're a subscriber to our newsletter.
Yeah, we send out a weekly newsletter. You can sign up at moneymatters.com.
Sometimes we'll throw something up on Facebook if we think it's amusing or whatever. And our producer here now has the camera slide. One of them slides back and forth, and it's kind of moving back and forth.
Are those new cameras?
Same camera.
Oh, good.
So, anyway, now there's it's summertime, so normally we wouldn't discuss this sort of thing because we're always so serious during our program.
Yes, but we, I'm just glad it's not a new camera. I don't even want to know how much they cost.
So we will be talking about some of those during the program. And really, I think the interesting thing is these low interest rates.
Yes. And so, it makes it a very, very, very difficult environment to invest and save and to reset expectations.
But I also want to mention, and we will talk about it, we have workshops coming up. It is July, but we thought, you know, some people are still interested. And we've had phenomenal results, actually more than we thought had people.
So, and we've never done them on Saturdays before, so we thought we'd do a Saturday workshop.
Yes, so Saturday, July 23rd at 11:15 a.m., Saturday, July 23rd, that would be next Saturday, 11:15, after breakfast or whatever, before lunch. We've got our workshop on, it's basically a retirement planning workshop. This is, if you are thinking you might be nearing retirement anytime soon, you really ought to attend the workshop. We've had thousands have attended our workshops over the years, and we think that they're actually quite informative.
So we have
the nice thing about them is you usually leave with some questions that you hadn't thought of before. That's the benefit of this.
And answers.
No, just more questions.
That's
you'll
it.
Leave more confused than when you came.
No, you'll get a lot of your questions answered.
Yes.
Sometimes
you hear
other people ask questions.
And it'll bring up topics you had not yet considered.
So they run about 90
And if you're within a year or so of retirement or just about to retire, or maybe you've just retired, you really, really should attend these.
So they run about 75 minutes in length, but people will, the workshop's over in 75 minutes, but oftentimes people will stay and ask questions for a good.
And they sometimes will stand up they want Pat's autograph. So
that's
we'll
only
have lines.
That's only happened once.
But the workshop.
It was my son and it was on a check. That was the only time anyone wanted my autograph was on a check.
So no, they just want the transfers from your account. Aren't y'all listed through your
My remember, I'm married to an accountant, so
I'm not.
We do the transfers, but I have no.
How nice.
I have no.
So you don't know how often your kids are hitting you up for money.
I haven't. I don't know.
It's
the
one thing that keeps my kids talking to me, though. I appreciate that about it.
Is them asking for money?
There's always something that they need some money for this, money for that. Send me. I get a text. Can you transfer money for this?
I am fortunate enough to have been married to an accountant for 30 years, and she handles every aspect of that.
And by the way, with two kids, and I'll now have two kids in college at remote schools, one in the Phoenix area, one in the Boston area. And as a financial advisor, I saved in 529 plans since they're babies, since they're born. Put money in 529 plans like clockwork. Actually added some money during the downturn, kind of front loaded a bit because things were on sale. I planned for the finances. What I did not plan for is the travel back and forth, like having to go back to parent orientation, having to go back to, you know, tuck your kid in his dorm room, which I don't know why we're doing that, but that sort of thing. Then there's parent weekend. Whatever that means. Yeah. I got to go to parent weekend.
I didn't do that.
So.
Because they call it parent weekend, but it seems a little bit too much
daughter,
about the kid.
My daughter plays lacrosse, so we go up and visit. I said to my wife, I really hadn't accounted for how much money we're going to spend traveling just to see the kids.
My basic rule with my kids is, listen, I don't care where you go to school as long as it's a direct flight for me. That's my only qualifier.
Direct flight. Or dad's not going to come see you.
Basically, I wanted
to. You didn't want to have. How about having in some cheap airline routes, though, as well? That would have been good, too.
Well,
I looked at the airline routes. Not enough carriers fly into this city, honey. I know the college is highly rated.
I know you can get in.
But it's got great career prospects for you.
It's more about me.
Yeah.
It's more about me.
So back to our workshop on July.
Oh, yeah, that's what. So on
23rd.
The July 23rd, we have three of them. We have them in San Ramon in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Bay Area, San Ramon Bay Area. The nice thing about a Saturday, we know the Bay Area is a big place, but it's easier to get around before noon on a Saturday. Yes. So you can still drive if you live across the Bay.
So these are 11:15.
Yep.
San Ramon Marriott in Bishop Ranch. Marriott Courtyard in Cherry Creek.
Denver, Cherry Creek, if you're in the Denver area. Again, Saturday, it's easy to get to.
Then the Marriott and Ranch Cordova in the Sacramento area. So these are all on July the 23rd. It is our 7 Personal Decision Points workshop. And join us.
And
you go to moneymatters.com, moneymatters.com. There is no cost of these. We will not be feeding you lunch, but there will be cookies and sodas.
Soda for breakfast? There'll be coffee or something.
There'll be coffee.
Water. All the water you can drink.
There'll be something.
No, we don't have it. We don't throw a big lunch sometimes. So no, I think there's some sort of refreshment.
There'll be
so you don't
some
starve. Get your sugar
coffee.
Up a little.
It is the 7 Personal Decision Points Workshop, July 23rd, 11:15, Sacramento, San Francisco Bay Area, and San Ramon, and Denver, Cherry Creek.
And
go to moneymatters.com.
To register, yes, there's a couple ways to register. One, you can go to moneymatters.com. Right at moneymatters.com, you can register, or you can call 1-888-2-HANSEN. That's 1-888-2
HANSON.
Yes. Thanks for spelling my last name.
242-6766.
Yeah, so it's numerically, isn't
it? 242-6766. And the 7 Personal Decision Points, we're going to cover your retirement income needs, your expenses and debt management, tax planning, investment management, risk management, estate and legacy planning, and distribution income sources. And especially if you've read Scott's book, Decision Points, if you've read the book, this is the process that we use internally at Hanson McLean that we've developed internally to answer the 7 questions that you need to answer for yourself prior to a retirement.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
In the early years of retirement.
Yeah.
And sometimes you need to readdress these areas.
Yeah, if you haven't done it already and you're retired, you should readdress. You should address these areas.
Yeah,
so it's not all just about managing the portfolio, which we do. We manage over $2 billion assets under advisement. But it's about the whole process, the whole retirement process, the financial planning process that goes into that. And that's the 7 personal decisions.
We would like to see you next Saturday, the 23rd. At 11:15 in the Bay Area, in Sacramento, or in Denver, moneymatters.com for more information and to register. So we'd like to see you there. Pat, I'd like to, I started this morning I got up early this morning, and I was in Lake Tahoe and drove down to the
studios. For those people outside of the greater Sacramento, Northern California, it's about a two-hour drive.
About a two-hour drive.
Sacramento to Lake Tahoe.
And we have our studios here in our own office. And so I'm driving through, and I see actually passed. Sometimes you see people that are like backpackers hitchhiking. And I saw two people stand there said with a sign, Echo Summit.
Okay.
And I actually just noticed it right as I went by. And I realized my wife wasn't with me because she would never let me pick up a hitchhiker.
So they were trying to get to Echo Summit?
Yes, they were. So I turned around and picked these people up. Matter of fact, as I was leaving the parking lot, there was yet another one. So I ended up with three backpackers that were backpacking the Pacific Crest Trail.
Wow.
Two of which had been out for day 80-something.
Oh, I can't imagine the stench.
Oh, that's, I'm telling you. I was driving my wife's car, too. I'm thinking, I hope the scent comes out.
I'm sorry. Do you mind sitting in the trunk?
Well, the one guy had spent the night in a Motel 6. He lived large.
So he was off the trail?
Yeah, oftentimes, they'll come off the trail for a period of time.
And they pick up at a post office box. They'll have general delivery supplies.
Or they have some family. This guy said he had some family member. The other guy's hitchhiked out. I don't know where exactly they went, though. I'm pretty confident the one guy did not shower or wash his clothes.
Okay.
Just by my observations and the car. And they're all like in their 20s.
So the one couple, was it a couple?
No.
Two guys?
Well, it might have been a couple. One was German, who spoke pretty good English. The other guy was from Israel.
And how long had they been on the trail?
Like 80-something days.
Were they going from north-south or south-north?
They were going north from the south to the north.
Okay, which makes sense.
And then the other guy who just happened to be at the same intersection hitching a ride. And there was two other people.
Did you get their trail names? Oh, that's the Appalachian Trail where they have trail names.
Oh. I didn't realize they had special trail names.
Oh, the Appalachian Trail people make up.
That's not in California.
Well, thank you.
I didn't pick up those guys.
Thank you.
These were the California guys. But anyway, I felt like I have my little touch with the Pacific Crest Trail.
I
participated in the go-through hike on the Pacific Crest Trail. I did my little part
in humanity. I backpacked on the Pacific Crest Trail for 2 weeks once.
You did?
Yeah, when I was 22. 22?
Because I've known you 25 years. I don't think I've ever known you to backpack.
Yeah, when I was 22, I went 2 weeks. I lost like 12 pounds. We ran out of food like day 10.
Anyway, this is Hans McLean. We have a special July program. We're having fun talking about all kinds of good stuff. So make sure you stick around for more. We'll be right back. This is Hans McLean.
Got a question? Visit moneymatters.com or call 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Advice without an agenda. It's back to Hans and McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome back to Hans and McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hansen.
Pat McLean.
I had noticed this last week. I took a few days off and spent some time with family. A kid actually wanted to hang out with me for part of a day, which was very nice.
The boy or the girl? Son or your daughter?
Boy.
He said, we
just happened to be together as a family.
Oh, he didn't state it. Like, hey, I'm 18 and I want to hang out with my dad.
No. Are you kidding?
It was happenstance.
Had he thought about it, he probably would have made other arrangements.
It was happenstance.
I think his mom might have invited him to join along with the family.
Oh.
But he's like a big Grateful Dead fan now.
Really?
Yeah, he listens to music. Yeah. Well, he had all his music on. He was listening to The Who and then The Grateful Dead. I'm like, The Grateful Dead. I started talking about, what about the lifestyle along with that? Are you into that as well?
And what did he say?
What's he going to say?
And he's like, Dad.
No, of course not.
You don't like these dreadlocks?
Is that Grateful Dead?
I don't know. I don't know.
I liked
the Grateful Dead, but I'd never been to a Grateful Dead. I had no desire to go to a Grateful Dead concert. I've
heard
about them.
That's right.
No desire. No desire.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
So we got that going for me.
That's very, very nice. So let's talk a little bit about the Brexit, the effects on the market, negative interest rates, and what it means to you, right? So essentially, there was a referendum in the United Kingdom where...
I think people, if they don't know what happened, you'd have to be living under a rock.
Okay. So what was,
you admit,
what,
right?
was it, mean, what was it about? So what was it about? Just give a quick synopsis what it was about. It was to separate, right?
The European Union is a relatively new concept, right?
Very new.
So young people don't know what life's like outside of that, which is why the majority of young people voted to stay in. The older people, like, they remember what life was like outside of it. But you can kind of imagine if 60 or 70% of your laws had to go through a foreign country, America would never even be part,
Not a foreign country, but you had to have other countries sign off on them. You had a say in it. It wasn't like you didn't have a say, but you had to get the nod from everyone else on the team.
So obviously we know the story at this point that the majority of those voters voted to leave the European Union, and this can be some sort of unwind. So the question is, what does this mean for you, and what does this mean for your retirement savings, your portfolio, your kids' college fund, whatever? What's it mean for your savings?
So when it first happened, the knee-jerk reaction was, this is going to be terrible for the global economy. That was what the markets, at least the equity markets, said, and the bond markets said.
And we did a special program on, we did something on the radio program, and we did a little, some video as well that we distributed to our client base on
or
Brexit.
Anyone that signed up for our weekly emails about the Brexit and what it mean. And it over the short term, there's no effect. It's not like...
There was an effect. What do you mean? Short term, there was an effect.
There is no effect on the overall... the short. Let's define short term.
That day, there was an effect. The first few days, there was an effect.
Okay. I'm thinking, if you look at today and go back...
Well, here's what's interesting.
No, Scott, you know, the market's
higher. We're not going back. So always look forward. You live in the now, Pat. Why do you always have to go back
to history? If we were to measure the markets the day before the Brexit vote and them leaving the European Union, and today...
Which markets?
The U.S. equity markets.
Well, the U.S. equity markets are up, obviously, higher. We hit new records.
Okay.
On the S&P and the Dow hit new records post-Brexit.
Okay.
Up quite a bit. Correct. Actually, up substantially from the low. If you remember, it was just last February things were looking shaky. And last... August, things were looking shaky. And July of 16, things don't look so shaky.
Now.
But who knows what tomorrow brings. The thing about what we saw happen with the, particularly the global markets, it's the unknown. Investors don't like the unknown. How do you price unknown? I don't know how to price unknown. I know how to price known or expected, but if what I had expected suddenly is going to be changed because something new enters the equation. That's.
Yeah. And when you buy a stock or an equity or a mutual fund, you're buying future earnings. That's what you're purchasing.
You buy a company.
You're buying companies or
you go buy a McDonald's franchise. You're buying the future earnings.
You're buying the future. You go down and
those Big Mac sales.
Right. That's what you're purchasing, your future earnings. And if you think the earnings are going to grow in the future, you're willing to pay more or a larger multiple to earnings. If you think they are going to drop in the future, you will pay a smaller multiple of earnings.
But part of right now, we're in very interesting times because what we have seen, which is real, since Brexit even, is interest rates continue to go lower. And this is causing investors to say, well, where am I going to put my money? U.S. stock market looks like a relatively safe bet. And compared to some of these bonds, might actually be relatively safer than some of these long-term negative interest rate bonds. There are $12 trillion today, $12 trillion of investor money in negative interest rates.
Which means what, Scott? Which means if I lent this country, let's say Italy, $100.
Even Italy has some negative interest rates.
Which
can
is
you
hard to
that?
Believe. It's hard to believe.
I looked at a study recently. It said 17% of the banking assets are in loans are in either. Yeah. If they're not in default, they should be in default.
Or they're whitewashed over. So I loan the country of Italy $100. Right? What's the negative interest
Italy.
Rate? Italy. They're going to return that less money than I gave them in the future. That's a negative interest rate.
That's what a negative interest rate means.
Negative interest. Less money. Could you imagine? Would you imagine taking an economics class in college 30 years ago and them saying, Let's talk about negative interest rates.
I did take economic class.
Did they ever talk about negative interest rates? No, I am not imagining taking an economics class. I took economics. The subject matter of let's talk about negative interest rates. Could you imagine even them ever bringing it up 5 years ago that you were talking about negative interest rates?
No, it's baffling, quite frankly. And I understand how we got here.
And why are they paying negative interest rates?
Because they can.
Because they can.
In like any borrow, you pay as low interest rate as possible, right? Like all the people refinancing mortgages right now.
And what's it cause people, investors, to do? It causes investors to take more risk in their portfolios because they're looking for an alternative to a negative. So we get it all the time. There's got to be something better than this. There's got to be something better than this. If my bank account is only paying 0.0001%, what are my alternatives?
There must be something better.
There must be something better. And the further away you get from the guarantees, the greater the risk in the portfolios.
So I think part of the question now, Pat, really, is because we've seen the prices of stocks go up much faster than earnings have gone up.
Which partially is because of a low interest rate environment.
So the question
and lack of alternatives.
Yes. So the question investors are asking today is this new higher multiple, as we might call it, is this sustainable long term? Is this just the new
Normal?
Because we're in a new normal of negative interest rates.
Yes. And is there more risk in bonds with negative interest rates or close to zero interest rates versus equities?
Here's the challenge. You take years ago, when you could take a 10-year, let's say a 10-year government bond paid 5% interest. Not that many years ago, that would happen, right?
You lend the U.S. government $100,000, and every year they pay you $5,000 for the benefit of having that $100,000 to use.
And so, 10 years from now, you get your $100,000 back. And over that time, for every year, you got $5,000 of income. So essentially, for your $100,000, you got $5,000 a year for 10 years, $50,000 of interest payments, and $100,000 your principal down the road.
Over a 10-year period.
$150,000 back on your
$100,000. What you would give for that today.
So you take an environment like today, where the interest rate roughly 1.5% on a 10-year treasury.
Pretty close.
Now, instead of $5,000 a year of interest, you're getting $1,500 a year.
And at the end of a 10-year period?
You'll get your principal back. But now, instead of the $150,000 you would have made before, you're making $115,000.
And you're saying?
So what this, as interest rates have gone lower, the return of your principal becomes a larger percentage of your overall return. So as interest rates get lower, there's actually greater risk with interest rate movement upwards than it was when interest rates were higher. So if interest rates were, let's say, 20%, go back to when interest rates were super high, well, your return of principal was actually a minority of your income.
Got it.
Today, it is the substantial majority, so that the challenge is, as interest rates get lower,
that any uptick in the interest rate causes you to lose principal faster. You're no longer playing with the house's money. You're playing with your own.
So our concern, and we'll talk a little bit more about this, the break, some ways to avoid getting into this trap, is we've seen money pour into these government bond mutual funds, some of these bond mutual funds, because the returns look relatively high, because as we've seen interest rates decline, the price has gone up. Our concern is what happens when interest rates bounce back up.
And how much of that will you put at risk in your principal when those interest rates move up? And they will move up. They will move up. The question is, when?
Nobody knows when.
When? But they will move up.
But I think there's a lot of investors that are going to be really surprised how quickly their portfolio can decline in value when interest rates rise by 1 or 2% points.
Especially those people that are consider their portfolios to be highly conservative.
Yeah, that's right. The ones that think they're conservative, maybe not so conservative. We're taking a quick break. This is a special edition of Hanson McLean's Money Matters. We'll be right back.
Are you questioning if the advice you receive from your stockbroker or financial advisor is best for you? If so, run it by Scott Hanson and Pat McLean of Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Simply visit their website at moneymatters.com or call 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Get a podcast of Hanson McLean's Money Matters delivered each week to your computer or mobile device. Simply visit moneymatters.com. And now, back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
All right, welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
Middle of July. Actually, if you're a podcast listener, it's whatever date you want it to be. And we've got more and more podcast listeners.
We have quite a few.
Yeah. And by the way, if you are not yet a podcast subscriber, you can find us at, if you go to iTunes, just search Hanson McLean at iTunes, and you can sign up that way. And or go to our website, moneymatters.com. And
Go to our Facebook page, Hanson McLean Advisors.
Can they sign up for their podcast there?
We're not talking about the podcast.
I was just talking about our podcast. Okay. What about you, Pat?
What about me? I did that little spiff thing where the IRS guy, I got the fake phone call where the guy pretended to be with the IRS, and we taped it and we posted it to our Facebook page,
yes.
And 163,000 views.
So as of last time you looked. Maybe it's
more now.
I
just looked right now. Is that right?
All right. Well, we'll see. By the way, on that Pat's chair, we have...
So if you're... If you could see this on our website.
I can see what? Not live.
Not now, but...
Maybe you can.
We should stream this thing somehow.
Why?
I don't know how it all works.
For four people to watch it? Who wants to watch it?
Listen, I've got a big family. They'll all watch.
My mom doesn't even watch this show or listen. Never has. She just says, if you mess up my money, I'm going to move in with you.
Does she?
I didn't want...
That's reason enough.
That doesn't sound good.
She gets to move in.
No. As a general rule, I've been an advisor for 25 years, certified financial planner. I prefer not to work with friends and family. There's just something about that. One, I don't want to ever have...
The friends thing should be easy for you.
Why? Because I don't have any?
There's a small, small pool.
I just never would be one of those guys that...
Every time.
Yeah, I'm always approaching people.
Yeah,
and
your business card turns into a sponge. This
exactly.
Sort of guy.
And so anytime a friend, we have lots of my friends are clients of the firm, and I'll have them work with another advisor in the firm, which is great. And same thing with family. But my mom, she insisted that I help her because she says she knows regardless of what happens, she has a place to live because if
nice.
I lose her money, she can move in with me. That's what she reminds me. And she always wants to know how her
How old's your mother?
Doing. She's 77.
And she's still working, though.
She's still working.
Yeah,
not because she needs to, by the way.
Just
because
she wants to, which is great. Okay, so back to this. We have a Do you play on the softball league?
No, we have a new softball team that started Hanson McLean a couple months ago.
Called the?
They call themselves the Fighting Fiduciaries.
And apparently, they get picked on quite a bit out at the ballpark.
Apparently, they're not very good.
Well,
that's what I've heard.
I heard they're terrible.
Okay, so it's no reflection on our financial planning performance.
And I
Zero.
Do
Just
not.
Just want to let you know.
I don't play on this. Last time
How
I played.
How long are you holding the shirt up for? You think you're on the Today Show or something? That's holding up for like 2 minutes. Holding the shirt up the whole time. In a case.
Alrighty.
This is, by the way, this is a special July program of Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Anyway, if you get a chance to join or watch our team, the Fighting Fiduciaries at Roseville, and you want to come out and watch a game, I'd suggest you find something better.
Is it co-ed team? Do you know?
Yes, I believe it's co-ed.
Anyone? It's not co-ed.
It's not
co-ed. That sounds sexist. This is 2016.
It's not co-ed.
Not co-ed.
It just...
There are co-ed leagues and not co-ed. That sounds...
Okay, anyway. All right, let's get on with the show. Enough
okay.
about the Fighting Fiduciary.
Really quickly, before we do, a reminder, we have our workshop, retirement workshop. If you are close to retirement, newly retired, you have yet to attend one of our workshops, you've got an opportunity. This next Saturday, on July 23rd, our workshop is at 11:15 a.m. at three different locations. In the San Francisco Bay Area, we are at the San Ramon Marriott at 11:15. And in Denver, we're at the Denver Cherry Creek Courtyard by Marriott, again 11:15. And in Sacramento, we're at the Ranch Cordova Marriott, 11:15. A lot of Marriott mentions. We should have charged Marriott for this promotional of them. Anyway, If you want to join the workshop, it's fantastic. We'll be covering all the things you need to think about, particularly in times like this, as we'll get back to talking more about these interest rates and what they mean to you. But it's a challenging time for investors. I mean, it really is. It's always a bit challenging because there's always something going on. But it's just a little, there's some different nuances today. And frankly, rate of return assumptions going forward are not what they were in the past.
Correct. It's hard.
So you want to attend the workshop. It's again next Saturday, 11:15, and you can register. Go to moneymatters.com, moneymatters.com, and you can get complete information and register there. Or you can call 1-888-2-HANSEN. That's 1-888-242-6766. And we just saw a study, Pat. Pension plans. You're going to be hearing in the next few weeks how major corporations' pension plans are underfunded and how state pension plans are underfunded, particularly states. Most state pension plans, their fiscal year just ended in end of June. And the way they work, determining if they have enough money, is based in great deal upon long-term interest rates.
And the longevity of the participants in the plan.
But the big change that we've seen over the last couple of years is as interest rates have gone down, their rate of return assumptions that
they have gone down, and the more money they are required to put aside goes up.
So we're going to be seeing a lot in both government pensions of these shortfalls are much worse. You're going to also be hearing about from publicly traded companies that they're underfunded, that the amount of money they need to contribute to get back to be fully funded, huge numbers. We're also going to be hearing more about the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation is going to be in close to insolvency. This is what's coming down the road.
Yes, you're going to see it here.
But when you start seeing these things, I want you to think about your own situation. Now,
can we spend a couple more minutes on explaining what that means?
Yes.
The lower interest rates. So when you retire from a government job where you have a pension or a private company where you have a pension, what they call a defined benefit
pension
plan.
You're one of the few left that, yes.
A defined benefit pension plan, a few private companies. Most government jobs still have a form of what's called a defined benefit pension, which is they define the benefit. So you work there for 30 years, and when you retire, they define a benefit based upon your years of service and your income to pay you for the rest of your life.
Yes.
So let's say I retire from XYZ Corporation, and my defined benefit pension plan says they're going to pay me $3,000 a month for the rest of my life. How do they determine how much money they need to set aside? That is what is called a liability. It is a liability that either that government or that corporation is responsible for funding.
So think for yourself, if you had a small company that you had employees and you were responsible for making these payments for these pensioners.
You right? have to set aside those dollars.
So you're thinking Pat McClain, who works for you, just is retiring.
So I'm no longer adding.
Let's pretend,
I'm no longer productive
Pat,
in the workforce.
Let's pretend Pat's, well, he's no longer been productive. That's been a while.
Well, thank you.
Let's pretend like he's 60 and retiring today.
Okay. So I'm going to get $3,000 a month for the rest of my life. So they look and they say, oh, Pat's going to live another.
Let's say it's 25 years.
25 years. So at $3,000 a month, we need to set aside
how much?
Now,
if you assume no interest rate, you would simply take $3,000 times 12 months a year.
$36,000.
25 years as life expectancy.
Right. And you'd say, okay, we need to set around $1.6 million.
But that's
But there is some rate of return, and that's where the rub is.
And the higher the rate of return, for example, if you could assume you could earn 100% on your money,
then
you wouldn't need much money set aside at all.
But
if you can earn 100% a month, you'd need just $3,000 set aside because you can continue to earn that. So as interest rate assumptions go down,
rates of return assumptions go down, the more money people have to, companies or governments have to set aside in order to fund that liability.
The same is true for you. Even if you don't have a pension, you need to have retirement income if you're going to be retired. And as interest rates have gone down, as return assumptions have gone down, this requires one of two things. One, you either need more money set aside for your retirement, or two, you have less income in retirement.
That's correct. Three,
that's the reality today.
Three, you could take greater risk in the portfolio hoping to achieve that, But what you're doing is introducing a lot of unknowns. A lot of unknowns.
Well, you're reducing your probability of success.
That is correct.
The more risk you take, the more you are reducing your probability of success.
So,
and if your financial advisor is not talking about this reality to you, or maybe you're about to retire and someone's
talking about a 7%,
8% rate of returns.
Even, yes. Then you've got to step back.
Which is some of these pension plans are still at that.
That is correct.
7.5%.
That is correct. That is correct. Some state pension plans are still at 7%+.
It used to be 20 years ago. You can get that on government bonds.
Yeah.
Not anymore, obviously.
What you're going to see in the media over the next month and a half is companies and countries and municipalities, states coming out and saying, we've got some problems here. But think about it in your own situation. Are your rate of return assumptions, are they realistic in this environment?
Don't let these low rates cause you to take on additional risk that you're under. I read an article a month or so ago, major publication, talking about they were pitching financial stocks.
Because?
High dividends.
Well, the dividends don't have anything to do with the earnings of the companies.
Well, I understand. Utilities.
Well, I know you understand. I'm talking to the rest of the audience. You're not the only one listening. Remember, dividends and earnings are not always one and the same.
There's no silver bullet right now to this problem we're in. Those that are pitching you that they have figured out the answer, I would be very suspect of them because it's not.
What we should be worried about most in this marketplace is risk to your portfolio.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break. This is Hanson McLean.
To join the show, call us at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-242-6766. Can't always catch Money Matters on the radio each week? Get a podcast of the show delivered to your device every week. Visit moneymatters.com. Now back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
We're doing a special July program. I'm sure you're enjoying it immensely.
Which is just another word for we're pre-recording this.
Special. The best of.
Who are we kidding?
Huh?
No, we came into the studios. We're pre-recording this.
It's July.
Yeah.
So. Hey, by the way, there's some positives on low interest rates if you are a borrower, if you have a mortgage.
Talked to someone today that got a 15-year fixed rate mortgage at 2.5%.
2.5 now, 15 rate.
Yeah, 2.5%. 2.5%. 15-year fixed rate mortgage at 2.5%. Are you in the control booth listening to this? I would like you to take a look at your own mortgages and consider that.
Here's the danger. Well, actually, at this rate, it's so low. But the only danger, 15 years is a great one.
Yes.
One of the challenges we see today, someone comes in, they say they'd like to retire. Great. One of the first things we do is say, well, we want to look at their situation. How much money do you have? How much money do you owe? That's a good starting place, right?
Yeah.
We see people that have been in the same house 25, 30, 35 years that have loan balances that look like they bought the house 4 years ago.
Well, this person did not take any cash out of the deal. They were just planning for retirement.
I'm not talking about that person.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Talking about the situation at hand. So the problem is, as interest rates have declined over years, people have refinanced, reset another 30 years, and taken out cash.
Well, you can refinance your mortgage for 30 years and amortize the payments to any number you wish.
Yes, and pay it off.
And pay it off there. You paid off in 20, 21, 18.
If you have a mortgage, you really should consider looking at a refinance right now.
Can you believe we're saying this again?
No. Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
I was thinking about, and I got a friend who's been in the mortgage business for 30 years. I'm thinking for 30 years, rates have been in almost constant decline.
Yeah.
Lower, 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 lower. But right now, I'd look at a 15-year, a 10-year even. Get a short-term mortgage. Get your ideal situation is to get it paid off. And you might think, well, I can borrow at 2.5%. Yeah. You're going to have to earn greater than 2.5%, which is not to say it's not impossible. But
for like-kind risk.
It will be taking on some risk.
Yeah, like-kind risk.
Great
like,
if you're 20, 30, 40.
You're 50? We like you to retire with a mortgage-free house.
60 or 70, maybe. Best to have no mortgage at all. Yeah,
just had a client that's 69, suggested they refinance into a lower interest rate, new 30-year fixed-rate mortgage.
Well, they're 69. Might as well
get
the payment as little as possible.
That's
right?
My point. I said there's no sense in having your home paid off in 15 years so that when you're 84, your kids will own a house free and clear when you die. What's the point? Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you're not going to get the mortgage paid off before, this is one of the things we talk about in the 7 personal decision points at the workshop.
What we have seen, though, last time around we were in low interest rates, mortgage companies tend to lag a little, and we're seeing a bit of that now. So we've seen interest rates drop quite a bit. And the mortgage rates haven't dropped as quick. I think they all have a little pricing room in them right now.
Which means negotiations.
Yeah, you might be able to. It might take a little more shopping around today than at other times. But it's definitely worth looking at refinancing a mortgage with these just low interest rates. Amazingly low. So Check that out.
So I came across this article. And actually, I was kind of surprised by these statistics because this hasn't been my experience, but it's about Uber drivers. So Uber, and so if I hope you're familiar with Uber or Lyft, it is a, as they say, we're a technology company that allows for people to use their technology to set up rides. It really, quite frankly, it's a taxi cab company without the regulations. They could call it whatever they want, but in my opinion, it's actually, and I feel bad for the taxi cab companies because they are saddled with regulations and Uber and Lyft ignores them. Saying all that, I use Uber when I travel. So Uber.
Do you use Lyft as well?
No, but my son uses Lyft.
No. I have both apps.
Yeah.
And I will first look to see what car can come quickest because you can see the cars.
And then price
if you haven't tried it, it's worth it. And then I'll do a fair estimate. And I'll pick whatever's cheaper.
Oh.
Because you can put in the debt. It takes me a minute.
And do you find that there's price differences?
Yeah.
Substantial.
Sometimes Lyft, there'll be surge pricing. I found there's surge pricing on Uber and not on Lyft.
Okay.
I think the last time I was in a city, if I go to a big city, I hate renting a car. So I'll either take cabs. But now when there's Uber, once you're outside the airport, it's just it's great.
And actually, when you rent a car and you're staying in a big city, you actually have to store your car for
it
the night.
It costs you a fortune.
That actually drives the cost up.
Hotel's charging another $50 a night or something.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, the car comes back no happier than when it ended, when I spent the $50 on it. So Uber reports 23% of their drivers are over age 50. 23% of their drivers are over age 50. Airbnb says 13% of their hosts are senior citizens. I would have thought the number was much higher. Recently, when I have taken Uber, I have the last three times were retired people that had retired and they were doing it for 4 to 6 hours a day to get out of the house. We sound like a commercial to why you should drive for Uber. We are not.
Well, you can try Lyft as well. And I tried another one. I was in a Lyft car. Obviously, not a Lyft car. It's some guy that contracted with Lyft and he gave me a coupon for some other. Well, The guy did. And I used it once and then I went and deleted my credit card information, and I got out of the.
Oh,
okay. There's one more.
So what's interesting? So I came across this this story where this young lady is describing her 70-year-old father who had sold a hot air balloon company.
I bet there's a big market for that.
Hot air balloons. He sold it at age of 70.
All hot air.
He had been doing this for 25 years.
Was a hot air balloon pilot?
He was a hot air balloon pilot.
I had a friend growing up, their family was into hot air balloons. They never took me up on one. I hinted a few times, too.
I have absolutely no desire to go
Maybe
in a hot air
like
balloon.
She didn't like me very much. I would. But I never got to go.
If I never go into a hot air balloon in my whole life, I'll be fine with that. If I want to see what it looks like from the sky, I will just get a drone with a camera.
A drone? Like my daughter. She has a drone now.
Your daughter has a drone. That's creepy. So this gentleman at age 7.
Why
70.
Is it creepy that my daughter has a drone?
What's she doing with a drone?
I don't know.
Does it have a camera on it?
I think that's her plan.
Is to put a camera on. What do you need to see?
I thought it seemed like a waste of money for a 20-year-old.
What do you need to see? We were at the beach a few weeks ago and a drone with a camera came flying by and was hanging around over
there. They weren't trying to look at you, Pat. I got to tell you, just listen, nothing personal. I don't think they were.
Scott, I don't know if you knew.
Spying,
at one point in time.
I hadn't seen McClane in a bathing suit, so the drone's coming in close.
Scott, at one point in time, I was a before model.
Before.
So, where was I going with this? Hot air balloon.
Before.
What? I was a before model.
So when you see the ads like Hanes, that's, if you look a little deeper, there's the before.
There's the before picture was, where the guy has the Spanx on?
Spanx.
I got this. So they got the guy with the big belly and kind of looks out of what, a little out of shape. Sometimes they forget to take those pictures. I'm the before model.
Okay.
So, yeah. So you see the weightlifting, the energy drinks. I model for those things on the before side.
The whey protein.
The whey protein. I'm the before side.
Yeah. Then you see some 25-year-old bodybuilder.
Yeah. You see him in the air. When you're in an airplane, they always got like this guy. He's like 91, and he looks like he could beat me up. And every time you look at any airplane magazine, as you're sitting there looking through the airplane magazine, looking for
when are we going to get there?
To anyway, so guys, 70 years of age.
Yeah, what is this? Where are we going with the story?
I think it was a nice lifestyle piece where this man sells his company, gets bored. Daughter comes and says, "Dad, I'm going to get you an iPhone. I'm going to load this app to you on, and I'm going to teach you how to open it, and you can become a driver for Uber." And the guy loves it.
Well, I tell you what. So I think this is we're going to see more and more, whether it's the gig economy, however you want to call it, more and more of this sort of thing in a variety of professions. This is taxi. This is kind of lower end, but you're going to see it. It's how much skills
so
it take.
So when I was,
but you'll see more and more, and of skilled professions, you'll see the same kind of thing that'll start to happen.
Yeah,
and I think it'll create some interesting opportunities for people later in life that
for not just money, but for engagement. For engagement,
because you talk to people who are retired, often one of the toughest things for them is
engagement.
Yeah, engaging with human beings. Yeah. They don't want a job where they got to show up at.
You don't have to report every time. And the nice thing about the gig economy is you show up or you don't show up.
It's up to you. You choose your own hours and all that stuff.
Correct.
Kind of interesting.
So we're almost out of time. Thank you for listening to the special edition of our July edition of Hanson McClain's Money Matters.
And next Saturday, a little reminder, a little shameless plug again. We don't have any other ones scheduled on the calendar, by the way.
That is correct.
If you have thought about going, we would highly encourage you next Saturday at 11. And if you're a podcast listener, the date of that is July 23rd. July 23rd, Saturday, July 23rd, 11:15 a.m. We're in San Ramon, the Bay Area, Rancho Cordova, Sacramento area, Cherry Creek, Denver. And if you want to register, go to moneymatters.com or call 1-888-2-HANSON. We'll get you registered. We'll see you next Saturday. You'll be glad you came. I'm pretty confident of that. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll see you next week. This has been Hanson McClain.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McClain's Money Matters. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.